January 1st, New Year's Day, 2003, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. From Pedro Show, New Year's Day 2003, here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point.
Happy New Year.
Brother Matt there with the Essential Assistance. Got Andy on board.
Hello out there.
Pedro Cat, come to visit. And from New York, or I should say West Mass / New York City, Mr. Thurston Moore.
Happy New Year 2003.
Oh, there's a Pedro Harley, uninvited. And Dave Markey up from Hollywood.
Yep, West Hollywood.
West Hollywood.
Right across the street from the Starwood.
We just did some recording, right, Thurs?
Okay. I just did some recording. You did. We played together.
Yeah. We did a Tom Rapp song.
Tom Rapp, who was a singer in a group called Pearls Before Swine. They were kind of an interesting group from Northeast region of the United States. I think they're kind of Vermont, New York axis, sort of folky, kind of Woodstock folky guys.
Phil Oaks.
Yeah, they kind of did a couple of records on ESP, which is like this radical underground label from the 60s on the East Coast, and they were kind of a folk, kind of hippie folk group that...
protest singers.
That had a lot of sort of protest, anti-Vietnam involvement songs at the time. And we did it. There was a tribute record to Tom Rapp and Pearls Before Swine that came out last year. That was pretty good. It had people like Damon and Naomi on it. I think they were sort of instrumental with it.
Even like trip.
Yeah, and even groups like Ghost from Japan. You know, they're kind of a legendary group for a lot of people who are into the history of like kind of U.S. psychedelia folk musics from the 60s and 70s. They're kind of a heavy deal in a way. They've become a heavy deal in retrospect.
Pearl Before Swine.
Tom Rapp and Pearls Before Swine. Because they did a few really cool...
What I heard didn't sound too psychedelic.
No, not that song so much. But there are... I think they just sort of fit in the whole psychedelia thing because, you know, everybody was like...
Tripping
out and sort of like looking for like an answer. Anyway, Tom Rapp was kind of an interesting cat, and he still is. He's been sort of performing a lot lately.
And he's going to come back. That's what his website says.
There's been a resurgence of interest in Tom Rapp lately. So he's been doing gigs, and they're doing a second volume of this tribute record, and then we were asked to do this song called The Fourth Day of July. Which was like a...
It's about all these kids, Vietnamese kids who were burned. Who are going to pay a visit to the White House?
Yeah.
It's great.
Running through the White House into welcome open arms of Nixon.
You know Effigy? That Creedence song? Basically,
yes.
The bottom line of that song is they're going to go to the White House and burn it down. You know, they used his song for this commercial, right? Fortunate Son. There was a story in the LA Times. He's very angry, John Fogerty.
He doesn't own that
stuff. He doesn't control the music, and even though they paid him.
No, the guy from Fantasy Records
says
took
it's another nail in those in the coffin of those ideals from '60s.
Well, you know, you can't
can't put your arms around a memory.
Yeah, you can't extinguish ideas.
I saw that on Sopranos. Yeah, they use that song.
And who knows? You know.
Or you can sell it.
I think Kid Rock does it for an encore with flags and stuff.
Kid Rock does that song? Right on.
And like some reporter asked him, well, what does that mean to you? What does that song mean to you? And he goes, well, I think of vets.
You're right. While he's drinking warm beer from a peanut butter jar. He's the real deal.
Yeah, the real deal. Okay, hey, here's some Petra Hayden. Watt from Pedro Show. La 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 la. From Pedro Show. That was 7 seconds with Get a Different Light. Before that was Super Celtic with Banshee, and we start off Petra Hayden with Moon Milk.
Here with special
guest Thurston Moore.
You said Petra has she did the entire Who sellout record?
Yeah. I told her about
acapella.
Yeah, me and D Boone really like that record as boys, you know, and
what's your favorite Who song?
The Good's Gone. I like that one a lot.
I like, or, my favorite one is
Much Too Much or So Sad.
Horace the Spider.
Bill Boone's favorite was Sunrise. He said, this is Townsend playing jazz, Bones. You know, we were just boys.
Did you ever see the Who play?
Yeah. Once in 73.
With Moon?
Keith Moon. It was Quadrophenia.
73, so you were like 14, something like that.
16?
16.
17.
1957 you were born? 58.
57. Today, New Year's Day, I went and did the polar bear dunk at Cabrillo Beach here.
What was the water temp?
What did it say on the certificate?
God, I didn't read
you guys, they came with me. They gawked. They wouldn't take the
plunge. It was like summertime down there.
I would have to do it naked. Yeah, I didn't have shorts with me.
I just got back from like a blizzard.
I told you, they just redid it.
I had snow up to my knees. For me to get out here, I had to spend an hour and a half shoveling out of my driveway.
Wow.
Drive 15 miles an hour to the airport. Took off on time because they had taken care of the airport. It was out in Boston, so they still know how to do that. And got us out of there. It's like it's surreal. I can't even think about where I was at because it's such a different landscape.
Well, they have to de-ice. Sometimes it sits there for an hour.
Yeah. Well, the blizzard was the day before, so they had a lot of time to clean it up before we got there.
So you get to go back tomorrow.
And tomorrow there's supposed to be another.
Leave all this lame sunniness.
Tomorrow there's supposed to be another snowdrop.
Just in time.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
So tomorrow at this time, I'll be like sledding down the hill with my daughter. Kind of weird.
You're sledding. Well, you can go to the mountains here.
Yeah, they got the snow flowing.
Big Bear and stuff like that. And then there's the Mojave. You can go desert, dune buggy in or whatever.
That's true.
And then there's the water you can plank. Bike. I have two bikes now. You can pedal.
Options.
Yeah. We got a pot.
Yeah, I got some more vacation.
You hear the gringling?
No, I haven't heard it.
I've been doing it.
Yeah? What time?
Did it this morning.
What time?
7.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't have heard that.
So, why? What records do you have coming up this year? 2003. What's 2003. The year? What's 2003 for what?
Second Man, my organ-based drum trio.
You going to do a Second Man? You going to do a record?
Yeah.
You going to do a tour?
It's my parallel of Dante's Divine Comedy. It's called Second Man's Middle Stand. It's about my sickness that almost killed me a couple of years
ago. Oh, so you're finally going to document this?
It's documented. It's finally.
Who are the Second Men?
Pedro guys, Pete Mazich on organ, Jerry Trepetich on drums.
And have you recorded yet?
No.
Oh, so you're going to record?
Kurt Nier.
And then you're going to go
in
out.
In Pedro.
I know. And then you're going to take it out?
Then I'm on tour, starting D. Boone's birthday, April Fool's, 2003. I do my 50th tour.
Excellent.
That in France?
Yeah.
All right. 5-0.
5-0.
And you were mentioning earlier, Walt, that you wrote 60 songs in its entirety.
60 lyrics.
60 lyrics.
Yeah, I have a book coming out January 11th. You're going to drive up there, right?
January 11th, Mike is going to be performing with two French-Canadian guys in Montreal doing a Minutemen set in honor of this release of a book that this guy from Montreal put out of all of Watt's lyrics from the Minutemen. Just Minutemen or Minutemen and solo
stuff? No, it's only my Minutemen
only
lyrics.
Only the Minutemen stuff. And then it has other ephemeral stuff in it.
It has a tour spiel that Black Flag and Minutemen did at the beginning of 83. Europe, U.S. It has the intro from Carducci, one from Richard Meltzer, one from Unithers.
All right. Have you seen the cover of the book?
All the Pettibone artwork for Minuteman.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. So this guy's putting this book out.
And it's because it's French Canada. It's bilingual.
It's bilingual. Ah. They're flying Watt to Montreal.
Pedro spiel translate over to French.
And he's going to play a Minutemen song. Are you just going to play Watt Minutemen songs? The ones you wrote lyrics to?
Yeah, we're going to do a T-Rex. They want me to do Funhouse at the end. They want me to do a Stooges song.
When's that happening?
January 11th.
Everybody show up. Go on Watt's Hoot page and check it out.
Yeah, and then you got a gig on the 14th.
A few days later, I got to go to Boston. I'm going to play a duo, guitar drum duo, the drummer from Lightning Bolt.
Oh, wow.
You
that's
know those
a
guys?
Crazy band. That's a girl band, huh?
No. Lightning Bolt's two guys from
well, my thing, yeah,
from Providence.
No, girl band, the girls like them.
Well.
They go crazy. It's a bass and a drummer.
Yeah. But it's not just girls. I mean, it's
no, but they got girls that go off with them, which is for a physical band. That's kind
of
unusual.
Well, everybody sort of circles around because they set anywhere up. They set their stuff up anywhere but the stage.
So is there a scene in Providence?
The guy has a bass rig and just goes to the ceiling. And
plays really loud and distorted.
Yeah, just loud. And he's really good. And the drummer just is like this wild drummer. And they just do these jams. And they're just, it's really intense. People just circle around them. And they just like get really hectic.
Oh, there you go.
You know, they don't pogo, they don't start slamming. They're just like, they just get hectic.
Who are you playing with, the drummer?
I'm just playing with the drummer. So.
Is there a Providence scene?
Oh, yeah. There's a Providence scene from the last few years that sort of came out of this kind of enclave called Fort Thunder, which where all these kind of people lived.
Practice
and they were
pad?
Like artists, oh, practice pad.
Collective.
People were painting, doing all kinds of stuff. And these bands sort of came out of there. And they were sort of the heaviest in a way. There's a band called Black Dice. That's
oh, they're
really
from
good.
There too.
Now they're living like in Brooklyn and stuff, and they're pretty cool. There's
what do you
a
think
few
about
other
Brooklyn?
Ones.
Better than Manhattan?
Well, Brooklyn is sort of this place where it's a little more affordable for people to move in and live on the cheap and have bands and stuff like that. You know, Manhattan.
There's a lot more gigs there now.
There's gigs there. It's its own community, and it's like
Des is there too.
Des is there, so that kind of creates a lot of heat. So
a lot of tension. Different kind of tension.
New dynamic. And there's this whole new vibe going on. And then there's all this commercial vibe going on.
Right, the yuppies are trying to
sort of like the rock and roll, the new rock bands that everybody's talking about.
Oh, that scene.
The whole Strokes thing and all that kind of stuff.
So some militant street cred.
But there's like,
do you want New Wave or do you want the truth?
Yeah, clearly.
Right.
What's your take on Joe Strummer?
I never met Joe Strummer. I always wish I did, but I had. You know, my only interaction with Joe Strummer is like in the 80s. I was playing with Lydia Lunch as her bass player, and we did a few gigs, this one lineup. And we did this one gig at the Peppermint Lounge in New York City. And it was a big gig, and everybody was there, and like Strummer was there, Mick Jones was there, and like we were playing, and Lydia was doing her thing, and it was like this really like kind of death knell kind of rock. And Strummer was standing there the whole set, looking up at us going, "Bollocks! Bollocks!" That was my only interaction with Joe Strummer.
Definitely not a schmooze. Lydia's got an interesting website called sexanddonuts.com.
Sex and Donuts?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And, she has
no, it's called Sex and Something Else. It's Sex and Donuts?
Yeah, and it's got a big rant on the current state of affairs. And
well, you know, she's very opinionated.
That's all right.
She did a great rap at All Tomorrow's Parties last year. Her whole thing about...
She's... Yeah,
W and everything. And
get over there.
Yeah, she's not really. Lydia's not really.
Soft spoken.
Yeah, she has certain viewpoints about the current administration. That
she's gotten a lot more political since I've ever seen her. I mean, she really went off on this
big rant, you know, in this post 9/11 world of, you know.
That's what this website's about.
Right.
Yeah, she's like not stake. She's not taking it lying down.
She nailed it. She was right on.
She sang on Death Valley 69.
Indeed. Yeah, she's an old friend, you know. I mean, I always like she was like a real icon to me when I first moved to New York, cuz she was really radical. Even, you know, she was my
teenage
age.
Jesus.
Really radical. Like, she really sort of just like was, you know, pushing boundaries left and right down.
Did you see Teenage Jesus gigs?
Yeah.
You know what I loved about the credits was it said drum.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Well,
Bradley
Field, that's all he played was a snare drum.
He said drum.
Yeah, we used to practice
at Bradley Field. Orphans, the greatest top 40 hit ever, Orphans.
When we first started, we practiced in Bradley Field's basement.
Is he dead?
And that's how I met Lydia, and I started playing.
Is he dead of heroin?
He died of, I think he died of different things. He didn't really treat himself too good. He might have died of AIDS.
It's hard to be an older punk rocker. Huh?
He was really interesting because he came out of the real early wave of coming out of Cleveland, like the whole thing of Perubu.
Oh yeah, Lofner.
Yeah, that really pre-punk kind of like Midwest scene that were all those radical
Electric
Eels and all that stuff. Yeah, and he was that first wave came to New York and started doing things there that became like no wave, but. Yeah, they went there because
Anton
Fear.
Right?
Yeah, that was like an interesting scene.
Petrovich is telling me, Petkovich, you know, Cleveland, about how important those New York City journeys were. These guys would go off.
Oh, yeah.
Really, Cleveland isn't that far.
Cleveland is really...
What, 4 or 5 hours?
A remarkable kind of breeding ground for, like, a lot of what happened in the U.S. as far as punk rock. Like, there was the first place that was, like, reacted to hearing about... television and Patti Smith and the Talking Heads out of RISD and stuff like that. Cleveland was like, there was an enclave in Cleveland, like Peter Lafner and all these guys who were doing music that was similar in intent. You know, people like...
tried out for television.
And Electric Eels.
Did you hear about that? That he tried out for television?
And so there was like a communication thing going on there between Cleveland and New York that was really interesting. And then a lot of Cleveland people sort of came to New York. You know, and that's, you know, Tim Wright, getting involved with
Lindsay
and doing DNA, which was like this remarkable group.
You know, it's funny, I've been reading, like, Jack Rabbit's still doing his big takeover, and it's still thick as ever.
Yeah.
There was a spiel in there with Dave Thomas, who was Crocus Behemoth in those days. And he used to always live them days down, right?
Right.
The rock and roll or whatever.
Yeah.
Now he is very much proud of this. Thing.
Well, in retrospect, you can sort of see like how
Rocket from the Tombs.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those bands even now still, you know, people look at them because they've been reissuing all this stuff now, CDs and stuff, and it's like, it's amazing, man. That Rocket from the Tombs CD that got reissued this year, it's incredible. The first half of that thing is incredible.
Yeah,
and
Cheetah Chrome.
Yeah,
I mean, that interesting. Thing last tour with Cheetah coming to my gig in he lives in Nashville now.
He lives where?
In Nashville. Married some girl
Cheetah
there.
Cheetah Chrome.
And I came to the boat and, you know, my organ player's never been on tour before in 18 years of wedding bands. You don't really know the punk scene too well. And he didn't know who Cheetah Chrome was. And this guy's beating on the door. I'm conked, right? Because I conked before the gigs. And Pete's like, what's up? And this guy, Cheetah, pulls a knife on Pete. Pete says, you're going to have to kill me because I'm going to keep coming. And so, you know,
why do you do that? Why do you pull a knife?
Baracho, I don't know.
Was he just showing off, right? Was he a little,
Baracho.
A little Baracho.
As we say here.
He used to go out with this girl named Jita. Cheetah used to go out with a girl named Jita. Her name was Jita Gash. She was the perennial punk rock girl because
they moved to New York City for a while.
Big frizz.
I stayed with Jimmy Zero in Cleveland.
Leopard skin.
A complete opposite to Cheetah is Jimmy Zero.
Jimmy Zero. And Johnny Blitz,
who got stabbed.
Yeah, I remember going to the Blitz benefit.
Jimmy told me about riding in the cab with him.
We're talking all
he used to carry a knife too until. Blitz got stabbed, and he's riding in the cab, and he's bleeding all over. He told me it was so cold, right? New York City, freezing, snowy night, and the blood
was making everyone warm. Because he's gushing out of 98 degrees.
Out of Johnny Blitz?
Yeah.
How did you know about this stuff?
Jimmy told me. I stayed with him last tour.
Where does he live?
Cleveland. He never left.
And how'd you hook up with him?
Came to the gig. I had him on stage and we did Little Doll, TVI. Stooges, the great unifier. Dave.
Yeah.
Me and the second man did 5 gigs with Chris Novoselic and Kurt Kirkwood's new band.
Bud Gaw, too.
I said Bud Gaw. Or Bud from Sublime, as you know. Called Eyes Adrift, and you made a video.
Yeah, I shot a video in September, followed them for about a week and a half or so, through Texas. Mostly filmed in Austin, but also filmed some in Dallas and Houston.
Kurt's living in Austin now.
Yeah, mostly shot at Kurt's house, actually, for the most part, and various other kind of Austin locales. And did this video on Super 8, and came out pretty cool.
Speaking of Kirkwood Brothers, I got an email from, quote, Chris's girlfriend, and he wants to talk to me. I haven't spoke with him in many years.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him.
She said he's doing better.
That's what I hear. That's what the word is.
That's how Kurt told me on the tour.
But, I mean, doing better for him would mean...
Between the brothers, it's very heavy.
Right.
So what was the theme of this video here, Alaska?
Well, I just think it was funny because the song's called Alaska and it has nothing to do about Alaska. It was, you know, all filmed in Texas and in the summer.
What's your favorite song with the word Alaska, Thurston?
It's so cold in Alaska.
Yeah, Berlin, right? Lou Reed? What's that? Like methamphetamine feel, huh? Okay,
people call her Alaska?
Right.
It's Lou Reed.
Because when she takes speed.
Yeah, right.
That song?
Yeah. One. Right? There's two Caroline Says.
Right.
They're taking her children away.
The kids.
But I don't think Kirkwood's song has anything to do with that. I just think it's kind of, you know, a kind of typical kind of Kurt song, you know.
Well, let's play it right now. Watt for Pedro Show.
Faster, silver moon, explosive hand, silent. chastity and grace, mercy and justice throughout every race. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. Right now, right now. Love has its time, all the time, all the time, all the time. We are meant to love one another, all in harmony, rhyme, and sometimes word rhyme. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. Right now, right now. Living is a necessity, please do not die. Living the good life with God, you abide. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. Right now, right now. Good standards are set, never left good standards by and what. Oh, love, love, only love. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. True love cast out all evil. Right now, right now, right now. Laying in my casket, just me and Raymond.
raiment, laid in our casket. Just me and Raymond, laid in our casket, staring at the wood. I try to warn the young dogs, don't ever listen, you thought that they would. Just me and Raymond, laid in our casket, staring at the wood. Your mother cry, listen to the flowers drop upon my casket.
Carnage Asada here on the Watt from Pedro Show. Dave Markey.
Yeah.
Tell us about Carnage Asada.
Carnage was a band that existed for about 6 years. Started in about 94 and...
Two basses, actually three basses. Then you went to drums, there was two drums?
Yeah, it was a multi-rhythmic band. Two drums, two basses, two guitars. Des Cadena was in the band for a while.
Des?
Steve Reed, Dave Jones, Dave Travis, and Dave Markey. Four Daves in the band.
Tell us about this record here.
It made fun for practice.
About
hey, Dave, this record, this was the only single that the band put out.
The song was Raymond's Casket.
Do you
know something about that? Thurston was asking about the singer.
Singer's George Murillo.
Looked like a Latin Joe Stalin.
Yeah. He's a East L.A. poet. By way of Venice Beach.
And some Pali High.
And Palisades
Bust
High
School. Pali.
That's where those guys all hooked up. High school buddies.
We used to get the cats from Wilmington. Fleming.
Yeah, yeah.
At Dodson.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time I was, you know, I came from Navy housing in Virginia, and all this Wilma's in the desk. I was, God, this Wilma lady gets around. Her sisters.
Tell what happened to you this morning, Walt, when you were trying to take a picture over there at the Naval housing.
Oh, yeah.
You arrested again today?
No, that wasn't this morning. That was last week, Dave.
Okay.
It's Wilma.
Yeah, they didn't dig me taking pictures of the sunrise.
Another strip search.
Yeah. So I'm obviously, and I was talking to Raymond Pettibone yesterday about this and saying, hey Raymond, should I get an FOI? You know what that is?
No.
Freedom of Information Act, see what your file is. He says, watch you do that, you're on another list. So
true.
He broke his heel in Holland. Yeah, he was doing his painting the way he preps his shows. He goes to the gallery a week early and paints on the walls, and this scaffolding they put up was too lame and it collapsed on him.
Oh, bogus.
He's almost killed, he told me. Den Haag.
Was he able to get his show set up?
Yeah.
Well,
Raymond is a trooper. He's a soldier. He persevered. And he can walk on the ball of his foot, but he's got a cast. Can't hang with the crutches. I couldn't stand my crutches either, man. They kill your arms.
Yeah, yeah, it's torture.
Hey,
you end up wanting to fall down and cause new injuries.
Yeah.
What gallery was it?
In Den Haag?
Den Haag.
Yeah, the Hague, like they like to say here in the U.S., right? The Hague.
What's Den Haag famous
where they're
they're hogs.
There's a famous trial going there with Mr. Milosevic, right? In that Hague right now for inspiring some crazy
problem.
Stuff.
Is that still going on?
The trial is, yeah. In fact, only one of the bosses has pleaded guilty. The lady who was in charge of the Serb Republic in Bosnia, and she says she has nightmares. So that's maybe nice, old.
I want to see W on trial.
Yeah.
You know, we're not part of this court.
We're not.
Right? It was part of stipulation to have our troops in Bosnia. Yeah, it's bizarre, but there's certain things about the land I'm not too proud of, huh? Maybe we can change it.
There are
better.
Some trippy things.
Yeah. Before Carnage Asada, we had Rocky Erickson, True Love Cast Out All Evil. You like that song, Thurston?
Yes. That's a nice song.
Before that, Suburban Suicides by the Controllers. You picked that.
That's another winner, yeah.
Another nice song. Got Mad Dog Carla on the drums.
Yeah, Mad Dog Carla, Get Well.
Yeah, no longer able to play drums.
Yeah.
In fact, they auctioned the drum set off at that benefit I played.
yeah. get her monies because she's, MS has got her.
She was a kick-ass drummer. You know, yeah. I was reading that interview with one of the guys in the band. Was it Kid Spike and who's the other guy?
Johnny Stingray.
He was saying, like, when they first started...
Came from Michigan or something. They weren't from...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But they were hanging out by down by the pier.
The first drummer when they came here was Paul Rosler.
Oh, yeah?
All right.
Yeah. Show you how everything's connected.
They said they saw Mad Dog playing in the mask and was just jamming around some people, and she was just totally tearing it up.
Yeah.
They had to have her. They connected
her. Wild. She's wild. Before that, we had Alaska, Eyes Adrift, featuring a video made by Mr. Dave Markey on lead paper bag there.
Yeah.
Paper bag.
Gathering the Basura.
Paper bag, SST Records, paper bag.
Right. They, you know what's unique about that band?
Paper bag?
Yeah, they don't have songs, right? They jam. Right. Which is kind of what Carnage did.
Yeah. That was, it was
right. You
it
didn't
was,
mention
it was
that.
It was an improvised band. Yeah, all the songs. I mean, they kind of turned into songs after, you know, 50 gigs. But at first, there was no structure. Then structure slowly worked its way in. And
was it a detriment?
Another rock band.
Did it end up hurting the band or helping the band?
I don't know. The band seemingly, you know.
You became slaves to the composition.
First, what's
free.
Up for you this year, 2003, recording music-wise?
Well, I think. We're going to get, you know, we're going to start rehearsing because, you know, we got to rehearse.
Because
we don't practice, we rehearse. So we're going to rehearse.
Kim's got an EVO.
What's that?
It's a little Gibson bass, sort of like the one I play.
Oh, yeah?
I saw in the picture. I haven't seen it live, but Bob Tevis.
You don't even know the instrument, what your wife
No,
plays?
No, I have no
you
idea.
You look?
It's a little bass, a little Gibson
yeah.
bass.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
I know what it was called.
It's great. It's only got one pickup, so it's called the EBO. Where mine is the EB3.
It's cool.
It has two pickups.
But you mentioned you have your...
The EB2 looks like Chuck Berry's guitar. Yeah, I don't understand.
You said you have your next record already written?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
I wrote
is it
here.
Is it wrote on that guitar?
Yeah, the
Thurston's
Firebird.
Thurston's had a guitar of mine for a long time, and he writes records on it.
The last,
all right with me.
The last 8 years of records were written on that Firebird that you left at Kim's mom's house here
right.
in L.A. It's
right,
like, come out
New
here
Year's.
On the holidays, visit her mom, write the album, go home.
I used to spend every New Year's with them, me and Kara.
So Watt is kind of responsible for the last 8 years of output.
And we recorded with it today, and we thought
exactly.
the problem was with it, but it was actually with the little amp.
You took that guitar apart today, practically.
Yeah, per ear. I bought that in Milwaukee for $200 on Firehose tour.
That's a nice sounding guitar.
Yeah, it's cool.
I think. Anyway, so that's we're gonna do that. We're gonna go out.
Non-reverse Firebird, like the basses I play.
Right.
You're going to go out tour?
Yeah, we'll have a new album that comes out. It's going to be called Sticky Situation.
Really?
And, then we'll...
Five Man Sonic.
And then we'll,
right?
Huh?
Five Man Sonic.
Five Man Sonic. We'll
yeah,
go out in...
Mr.
O'Rourke. We'll go out in June, I think, playing these shows here, somewhere, with this band called Wilco.
Yeah, sure.
Those cats.
Uncle Tupelo. They wrote a song called D Boone.
Right.
Oh, cool.
So they're going to take us on the road for a couple of weeks.
Cool.
Doing their thing. And
I heard they do I Want to Be Your Dog.
Oh, yeah?
It's right here.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Because I think we know how to play that.
Yeah, better than Eagles. Don't let them do any Eagles.
The Eagles, you know, the Eagles were like one of the biggest selling bands in the history of like late 20th century rock and roll.
Yeah, Pat Boone sold more Tutti Frutti's than Little Richard's. So what?
Yeah, exactly. So what is right?
You know, you play both versions and tell me which one is going to be in your collection.
You know that when Dee Dee Ramone died the same weekend as the guitar player in Rat, who sold more records?
Rat.
Who?
6 million.
All right. What was the guy's name?
I don't know.
Who, you know,
no one
I mean,
even
it's like there, there's,
that he died.
I don't think, you know, the commerce of rock. Really
I do know one thing about
that.
The bass player for the Alley Cats, Diane Chai, went on to run their fan club.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. We're done with the first hour. Hold tight for hour two.
It's nice being here. We're going to we have to head back.
Well,
oh,
let
sorry.
Me start the next hour.
Go ahead.
You've got to save it. It'll just take a minute.
Oh, okay.
We'll gracefully eat.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be. Yeah, that wasn't very graceful, I guess.
Do you want this chow water, or should I just toss it?
Toss.
Okay.
New Year's Day, January 1, 2003. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. We're spieling with Mr. Thurston Mozelich, a spiel.
Forgot my name?
Spielin'.
How soon we forget.
Mr. Dave Markey.
Andy.
Brother Matt.
Yeah.
And yours truly, Watt. Here we are at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. West of the Rockies, north of the equator, east of Tokyo.
Happy New Year.
Right. So, Thurst, what do you got going musically besides Sonic stuff?
Well, you know, I'll probably do some other gigs with different people here and there. I don't know.
Recording?
You know, I'm trying to sort of figure out a way to make some coins so I could put out more records and books, because that's what I like to do.
And the Ecstatic Peace label of yours.
And stuff like that. And so I'm trying to think of some way to sort of maybe sell things on the internet.
eBay?
Good stuff. Limited edition.
Oh, from a site.
Creative Works.
Much respect.
Take care.
Creative Works.
Yeah.
Subsidize some artistic...
Yeah, because I can't afford to do
can't
it.
Can't float it?
I can't float it. And so, but anyway...
Coco's got to go to college.
Coco goes to college.
She's 8 now.
Parentage. She's eight.
Right, I couldn't get her Dr. Seuss this year. I got her Smithsonian invention.
That's
there.
Good.
Yeah.
She's a kid. She's a young person now.
Right.
I took her to see a PG-13 movie yesterday.
Which one?
Chicago.
What'd you think?
It was a slam bam musical.
Yeah. Fosse. My mom's sister likes
Bob Fosse.
Musicals. When I was a kid, they'd always have them on the TV.
Well, this one's intense.
Yeah.
It's like it whaps you around the head a few times.
Yeah. Is it kind of Garland, kind of Liza, kind of Streisand?
It's about the celebrity, being a celebrity in Chicago and being a celebrity murderer.
You know, for being...
You murder your husband.
You're Midwest. Chicago's the New York City or the L.A., you know. It's a big thing. I was conceived there. And my mother was a teenager in Peoria, and she told me how Chicago, a huge mecca to folks who live in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
To like you or me or Dave or Brother Matt being on the part of the big coastal things, Chicago isn't even a blip, huh? But if you're in the Midwest, it really is a big town.
Well, Chicago's, especially earlier in the 20th century, Chicago was like a major, major city.
Yeah.
Culturally.
It was bigger than L.A. for a long time.
Oh, L.A. was a slow sprawl.
Yes, slow. But now Chicago. Chicago's kind of a mix of New York and L.A. because it's got big suburbs.
Well, you know, the media changed everything. And the more that we got dependent on the media for information.
We got more coastified.
You got more coastified.
Okay.
So that changed the culture of the states quite a bit.
Yeah. So you have no... plans musically?
I have lots of plans musically. I plan to play music personally, every day of my life.
Outside of
something. Until I get assassinated.
Like the psychic cards.
Oh, psychic cards, yeah. Well, what I want to do is I want to do another psychic cards record. I want to do a record with
Steve Shelley.
I think it's going to change up a little bit. I think it's going to be me and I'm going to get Verlaine to play guitar.
Oh, wow.
And I think I might get this young cat to play drums from near me, Northampton, who I've done some sessions
with. Is there a Northampton scene? I'm going to make sure I play there next tour.
Where should you play?
I'm going to make sure I play there.
You should play there. There's quite an intense
live scene there.
No, don't dodge it.
Yeah, I know.
What was once a secondary market is now should be...
Now tertiary.
Now tertiary.
No, but there's a scene.
There is indeed a scene. There's like four or five colleges there, man.
Yeah, I know, but... You know, things
there is a total scene there. Yeah, no, there's a place called the Flywheel, which is a community arts organized club. There's a couple more there's a couple more officious places that you have to deal with these
yahoos.
But you know, you have a booking agent who lives around there.
Call.
I can help you out and put you on the right gig.
Big Bob Lott.
You know, sometimes it's a tough draw. You have to do it at the right time. But you know, it's a weird market right now. I know. Just people have been coming through our area and
caving. Yeah. Things, you know, life is hills and valleys. Okay? It's not all plateau. It's not all dry riverbed.
Right.
Liver head. So it makes things interesting. And if you're in this for the long haul, you got to learn to ride. with the Tides, which is amazing about Sonic Youth. You cats don't burn out. I mean, not as people, of course. I know your integrity.
No, we're just getting started, dude.
I'm talking about with the kids. They don't get tired of it.
Yeah.
You know, like they got tired of Rat and stuff. Sure, you say six million records. Then nothing, right? You guys, consistent. Maybe not 6 million records, but consistent. You can go out there. You can hire somebody to watch Coco while you tour. Bring her on.
You know, I don't mean any disrespect to anybody who, like the guitar player Rat, who died the same week as Didi Ramone. No disrespect. I mean,
no, but
like
that's
who
a
he
cycle
was.
Of things where people.
But
have
when
this
I think
peak.
Of, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, Didi Ramone as being this like incredibly important figure and this musician, but they never had a gold record, and that this band Rat had platinum records.
Right.
So in a way, it's a little weird how to sort of reflect on that. It's like, to me, it's kind of enlightening in a way, because it sort of shows like the actual importance of the culture is really about those people who make such an indelible mark, like Didi Ramone, in complete disregard to the commercial aspects of what they're doing.
Right.
Whereas Rat was all about.
And Loverboy.
It was cosmetic. It was cosmetic.
There's lots of bands.
Hey, I like Rat. I thought Round and Round was like a genius pop song. But, you know, for what it's worth, it's just kind of, there is a sort of imbalance of power. I mean,
yeah,
when it comes to the economics of the music.
But
so,
it's nothing that's something new.
That's
for this age. It's
blues
the old gaze. Formula.
It's
not
blues guys doing it.
Yeah, and also this cycle. Yeah, blues guys, brother man, exactly. This cycle of you have a huge commercial peak and then nothing. Those guys couldn't buy a gig.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
You cats can go out tour after tour. Year after year. And the thing doesn't get beat to death, tired. There's a new batch. You bring in young folks. You guys have never... Coddled, I read some interviews about this Murray Street record you put out, and you said it was Mersh and it was Blink 182, but that's not true. Well, obviously, your tongue was.
We said that?
You said that.
Tongue firmly implanted in cheek?
Yeah. And like this was your Mersh record, but it wasn't your Mersh record.
Well, I'm gonna have a sledgehammer firmly implanted into my skull if I don't get home, because I have responsibilities to my family.
But
they're waiting for me in West LA, because I got to fly home tomorrow morning.
Right. What I'm getting at is,
I hear you.
You're probably more in the tradition of Didi Ramone than Rat.
Well, God, you know, I would hope so, because Didi Ramone to me was like just his whole approach to making a statement of an artistic statement was so shockingly it was just so exciting. To me, he's like the Rat guy. Hey, he was exciting too in his own way, but you knew that you knew Didi Ramone like was doing something that was really going to sort of change the tide into like it was a real future event in a way. You know what I'm saying? It's like the other guy was
he's playing the field, and Didi was a pioneer.
He's a pioneer.
Why do you think he quit the Ramones?
Oh, I think those guys totally, like...
They tossed him.
Yeah, I think they were just, like, just on each other's case. I don't think they got along so well a lot of the times. A lot of bands, you know, they don't get along so well.
Yeah.
After a few years, it's just because people, you know, they're not cut from the same cloth as far as, like, their ideas a lot. You know, the one group idea, sort of like they did it and they adhered to it, but I got a feeling it was just, who's to say? You know? Do Mick and Keith talk to each other?
I heard they got in the fist. No, I heard it was Keith and Ron Wood a couple weeks ago. Got into it on stage.
See, that's the show you wish you were at.
Yeah, that's where you get your money's worth.
What were you saying about the Stones earlier when we were at the beach?
The Stones. Well, it's funny because the Stones are the one band that have a longer career of being lame kind of Tommy Hilfiger bozos than they were like this really cool rock and roll band. They have a longer career of sucking than they did as ruling, which is kind of interesting in a way. I mean, they've made a longer career of just like, you know, full
doing
out,
slow burn,
just full out sucking. You know,
what was the
as
first
an entity,
record that Stones fully sucked on.
Well, it's sort of in a way, it's a transitional move. I think Black and Blue going into, you know, Emotional Rescue even had some good stuff on it. You know,
Can't You Hear Me Knocking on Black and Blue?
No, Can't You Hear Me Knocking's on Sticky Fingers, which is a great record.
Oh, that's right, and that's a great song. That yeah.
Yeah, and I like Goat's Head Soup, and I
thought Goat Head Soup was going down.
Yeah, Goat's Head Soup was a good sort of just kind
of the newer ones. I think Some Girls the best. My favorite one is Satanic Majesties, which I guess they made as a joke.
In another land.
Yeah, Bill Wyman. Credited to Bill Wyman.
Bill Wyman. He sang it.
Yeah. Well, it's credited. Like, it doesn't say Rolling Stones. It says Bill Wyman.
This song features Derek Smalls on the bass. He wrote this kind of thing.
In another land.
Right.
Yeah.
The sky was red.
Nobody else's hands.
That's a great record, I think.
And that record used to scare me.
And they're making fun
of Sergeant
Pepper,
crying baby
right?
on it. He's just giving me
pass
nightmares.
That joint. That was big.
Yeah, right. I thought he said, "Where's that joint?"
I thought he said, "Pass."
Exile on Main Street. Rip this joint. Rip this joint. Gonna get
Rip
down.
Rip this Ry Cooter guitar
Exile,
part off.
Yeah, Exile on Main Street is my favorite
that's
record.
My favorite
Rip
too.
This Ry Cooter guitar. Did you ever hear the story about that?
Ry
Cooter
joint.
Tells. They bring him into the studio, you know. Hey, we want you on the record. And he's waiting for the band to show up, and he's just playing around on the guitar, right? No one shows up for hours, so he packs up and leaves. Well, Keith was there the whole time taping everything he played and, like, all those licks of the songs. But I'm glad it's your favorite. Now, it's weird about the business or the racket. I wish it was business.
You know, it's just music. I remember when Dinosaur first got together, people were really surprised because they were so lackadaisical about wanting to talk about themselves, and there was such an industry of like talking about yourself when you have a band. And like, I remember when Jay and Lou and Murph went to England for the first time, because, you know, Paul Smith from Blast First kind of said, "I'll put your record out and I'll bring you to England." And it's like, okay, well, you know, why not? You know, we can play anywhere, it doesn't matter where we are. Yeah, you know, it was really amazing. And they went over there and they were doing all these interviews because, you know, they set up all these interviews for him with NME and Melody Maker and Sounds and Kerrang and all these magazines. And I was reading them at the time, and I remember there was one where, they kept talking about how, like, they don't say anything. Like, Jay doesn't say anything. He just looks at the floor. He looks at the TV in the corner, and once in a while he responds. And they were making a big deal out of it. And at one point he did say something really enlightening in one of those interviews where he's just like, "You know, I don't understand why everybody's so excited about music, about bands. It's like, you have all these," and it was like really interesting, kind of like, his perception of it was like, God, you know, this whole industry of people making newspapers and magazines and all this press and all this, you know, publicity about something that we just sort of do. It's a very natural thing, and we just sort of like doing it, and yeah, we like going out and playing. And but he was a young cat, and he just sort of didn't, you know, the whole idea of just like going out and talking about it to the nth degree and promoting it, and was just like really confounding to his young brain. It was really funny. I remember just being really amused by that at the time.
Well, speaking of old Dinosaur, when I was with the Ashton Brothers and Jay in London a couple of weeks ago, Lou Barlow showed up.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
Big reunion on stage.
Well, comes into the dressing room beforehand. We're going to play after Primal Scream at the Brixton Academy. And he apologized for some weird stuff he had done to Jay. And he came out and sang 1969. The next night he came to the Mean Fiddler and did I Want to Be Your Dog with us. So Lou Barlow and Jay Mascis on the same stage. And you know what was the trippiest thing? Is Jay had his gallbladder removed before this Europe tour. He yanked it out. So he's wearing this down vest. Remember, like Pedro in the 70s, huh? Down vest to pad his guitar from where he got a gallbladder yanked. Well, Lou's wearing a down vest, too. They both are wearing down vests. You know, probably the only dudes in London with down vests on, you know, and these two cats have them on. It was such a mind blow. And I know Lou didn't call Jay about it. You know, it was just total serendipity that these cats are wearing the same thing and make their big groundbreaking. I think it was great of Lou to do that, too. He's doing, I guess Subado's done, and he's doing acoustic.
He's just doing Lou Barlow.
Just doing the Lou Barlow. Lou World.
He lives in L.A., right?
Yeah, Silver Lake. Our version of Brooklyn. Polito.
Yeah.
Polito.
Right? The last song on Living All Over Me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why?
I knew about this stuff, these tapes Lou made from you.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
You used to get them or something?
Well, yeah. They're
amazing. He'd make these collages. Now, what Lou did, he did sound-on-sound recording, but not multi-track. He'd have two tape recorders.
Yeah.
And just play one with the other on record, you know? Hours and hours, and one of the songs made it up on that Dinosaur record. But
right.
I guess this is what turned into Sum It Up.
Right. Yeah.
I played a gig about a month and a half ago with Jason Lowenstein.
Oh, yeah?
Sum It Up guy. And there was a lot of West Mass there. There was Tim from Gobblehoof.
Yeah.
There was Eric Gaffney from...
Where was this gig?
Subadult. This was at the Derby in Los Feliz here. I mean, it was all West Mass. It had Bob Fay from...
he's out here.
Volcano Sons, right? Yeah, he's got a band called Straight to Video now. It was a trip to play with all these cats. They could reunite and...
Western Mass Hardcore was very heavy, man.
Yeah, it's called Fields. Yeah, all right, where Jay played drums.
Deep Wound.
Lou was guitar. Yeah, Jay told me too. He was heavily into Birthday Party. That's the kind of haircut he's got on the back of that first Dino record.
Yeah,
he
was.
He told me the concept behind Dinosaur was Meat Puppets.
Not playing hardcore, but playing like
Meat Puppets.
I can sort of see that.
Which is a trip because when D Boone gave me the record, he got a test present and he played it for me. He goes, look, this is what East Coast Meat Puppets sound like. And Jay never told him that. I told Jay that when Jay told me that. It was a trip how parallel.
Makes sense.
Did you think that?
No, I didn't know what to think. I thought they were trying to really sort of do this thing. I mean, it was like there was nobody doing that kind of stuff at all, like coming out of hardcore and creating a band that sounded like Neil Young's Crazy Horse all of a sudden. That was like
really
shocking.
You didn't
think
Meat Puppets were like Neil Young?
No, Meat Puppets had a more
second album.
Meat Puppets had a real damaged kind of like aesthetic in a way.
They
were really
damaged.
Like, well, because their whole first records were like these like 3 second like blitzkrieg things. And then
but
they came out.
Did you ever talk to them about that first album?
But Meat Puppets
that was a total joke.
But Meat Puppets
Black Flag.
Yeah, but
Bostrom wrote
that.
All the songs. Those aren't Kirkwood songs,
right?
Yeah,
Meat Puppets had a more of
a
Grateful Dead
first
kind of
album. The first real Meat Puppet album is 2. They made that album up because Black Flag asked them to make an album, so they thought, oh, this is what they would like. But Bostrom told me he knew about punk. The Kirkwoods really didn't know. He turned them on to...
Yeah, they were in the Gentle Giant.
Yeah, yes.
Like Gentle Giant, yeah, ZZ Top and the
and
Dead.
Neil Young, heavily.
Yeah.
I got a tape where they do like 100 Neil Young covers. But... I don't know.
But Jay was coming out of doing that, but with the
well,
same...
Well, hardcore's weird.
But with Minor Threat.
My theory with hardcore being so much different than our kind of punk rock, we were kind of reacting against the rock and rollers. The hardcore kids were so young, that was rock and roll.
They weren't reacting against anything. They were just starting these bands.
That's right, learning how to play. So these guys are into Dio.
No.
Who's a nice man, I met him and stuff.
What? I gotta go, man. I'm gonna be late. I'm gonna get in trouble.
Okay.
I have to go.
I gotta say goodbye.
And the last thing we talked about was Dio. That's like so perfect.
Yeah. You know, I met him a couple times at the awards thing, and he told me about his new record. And he says, you know, I asked him what's it about, right? And he said, look, Mike, don't tell anyone. But it's about both things. And I said, what's that? And he goes, fantasy and rock and roll.
Whoa.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, that's heavy metal.
Okay, look, I didn't mean to keep you.
No, I know, but I have to go. I'm gonna get. I have a plane.
All my
to
sympathy.
Catch.
Thanks for coming by. In fact, in your honor, I'm gonna play some Slater Kinney, a song called "Sympathy." Thank you very much, Thurston Moore, Dave Markey.
Thanks, Juan.
You got to come next year, and we'll make time for a whole show. And you bring records and learn me like you did last time.
Definitely.
Remember all that stuff I'd never heard in my life.
I'll bring some records.
Do that again to me.
Next time I come,
that was stuff from your label.
Yeah. Next time I come to L.A., I'll bring stuff.
Hermano.
I wasn't supposed to be here today. It was like a...
Hermano de Moore. Huh? That was your brother you played at one of his...
Yes. Gene Moore.
Gene Moore.
I'm putting out a... the next Ecstatic Peace record is by George Moore, which is my nephew. And it's a record called Plastic Flowers. And then I'm going to put another Gene Moore record out. And then I'm going to put a Daniel Moore record out. That's another nephew. I'm only putting records out by my family members.
Where can they get info on the web for this?
I don't know.
It's not on your Sonic site?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Scratch Records. It's a distribution house out of Vancouver.
Yeah? Okay.
Do a search. Do a Google for Scratch Records, and you'll find Ecstatic Peace stuff on there.
Thanks so much, Thursday.
Thanks, Watt.
Have a... you know, pleasant trip.
Brother Matt,
north,
thank you
West
for letting
LA.
Us do this.
Right. Thurston, safe seas on your flight back to Snowy Land.
Fantastic.
Okay, I'll see you on the E. Give me the E's. Keep me in the hip with the tip. You know, don't lose your grip. You're next contestant. Do you want to flip? Slater Kinney, Watt from Pedro Show.
I know I come to you. Precious baby.
bus, I'll let the face. Watch your trust, fall in face. See a stranger like a human token that deserves a new suspended crime. I'm a fool, so go up, go back for more. You don't understand you. What that goes for, I show you. You don't understand you. I'm explode, I like the face. Fuck that drugs, fall in face. See a friend, they laugh at you. But don't get mad, just as I do. Even if you don't look so good, we don't want to dead you. We don't want to show, we don't want to dead you. We don't want to dead you.
All right, Watt from Pedro Show. That's Henry's first band, State of Alert, with Lost in Space, Dave Markey Choice, after a couple hits on the balloon. He's lost in space. Hopefully gets Dustin home safe. And before that, Slater Kinney with Sympathy off their new record. Thirst had to shove off and stuff, but don't be sad. Happy time now. Brother Matt, spin cycle.
I don't know if it's going to be happy time right now. This guy here is going to stir us up. He's a little bit angry.
Oh, yeah. Right now, we're going to go down. All the way down. Going down in the motherfucking gut. That's the only way you can reach some brother. Mother, this is the chance. Take the keys and leave the room. Trying to shock nobody or nothing. It's just time to put some truth in this motherfucker. Nigga, 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 nigga. Talking that shit, make it big, get bigger. Killer, 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 killer. Fell out niggas, talking about killing niggas. I'm sick of this shit, it was fresh, now it's time. Rap and keep it real when you know he's alive. Fell out nigga, scared to speak the truth. Nigga, kill a nigga before he leave, it's you. Crackhead nigga with his finger on the trigger. Hound drug shit is all he'll deliver. Rapping about his woman who he calls a bitch. But he's the one who's turning tricks. Sellout nigga, sell his soul for the paper. But all he gonna catch is the motherfucking vapors. If the boy only had an original style, he could rock the mic and drive us wild. But he's sucking on a bottle like a baby child. Silly ass nigga, even afraid to smile. Strong black man, he gave his life so this young black man could have the right. But all he wanna do is fuck the strong man's wife. Jack up for her money just to suck a crack pipe. Blowing on the devil how he gets his thrill. Rolling all around talking about keeping real. When you hear him saying, nigga, 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 nigga. Rapping about nothing with his finger on the trigger. The sellout nigga just can't be saved. Sell out nigga, ain't be nothing but a slave. Nigga, 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 nigga. Talking that shit. Nigga, can we go there? Nigga, can we go all the way there? Nigga, 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 nigga. Sell out nigga, talking about killing nigga. Nigga, 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 nigga. Nigga, you're trying to teach some truth to this motherfucker. Just like you. Sell out niggas, they just make me sick. And that gola, he'll be somebody's bitch. Disrespect this woman, disrespect yourself. Disrespect to me would be bad for his health. Rapping, killing niggas, how he gained his wealth. And it's the same damn way that he played himself. House nigga, time is up. Like a fresh piece of butcher that just got fucked. Nigga, 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 nigga. Talking that shit, nigga, nigga. Say what? Down like a squirrel.
love, nigga, you better watch your back.
Thank you. still get letters in the mail, mostly from crack-up men in tiny rooms with factory jobs or no jobs, or living with whores and no women at all. No hope, just booze and madness. Written with an unsharpened pencil or in ink, in tiny handwriting to slant down to the left. And the paper is most often torn, usually halfway up the middle. And they say they like my stuff. Recognize it truly. I've given them some chance, some recognition of where it's at.
With a young boy to write my
We've had some technical difficulty here at the Love Grotto.
Some troubles.
During the spin cycle here, Brother Matt lost use of his machine.
What's up?
And we had some good beats and grooves going, and now we have empty air, so I have to fill it with spiel, which is a big dilemma.
Again?
Yeah. Let's kick it back in, Brother Matt.
Let's see if it were take two.
All right.
No.
We're denied.
Shut.
So maybe we're going to have to play 45s for the rest of the gig.
Live songs. Sing live.
Wow.
Trippy.
Well, sometimes this happens. Now, Brother Matt takes his gear and kicks it on the road. And, in fact, he went down the alley here to do something at Chuck Sand's pad. Crane gave a big spiel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he pissed some people
made people sad.
They needed it.
Because he told them not to listen to the news.
Don't check out the crap.
Yeah. Put on your bullshit detector, and people didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear about how well the stock market should be doing, or how much confidence they have in some of the garbage collectors we've hired.
Or much confidence factor.
Yeah. The polls.
It was trippy how people were like totally into the mainstream thought wave. You know, they got pissed that he said, "Don't watch the news." That seems like a pretty
and it was good. Supposed to be a hip party, and a bunch of square John attitude.
I guess that's
so. So it shows you it's not the clothes, it's the ideas. It's not who you know or who you're seen with. Sometimes there's going to be folks who are going to say stuff that kind of rocks the boat a little bit. And if you knew Crane, he is a gentle man. He's tall, but he's gentle. And he just has a feeling in his gut that certain things are kind of screwy, and so makes those thoughts known to others, and they don't want to hear about it. And he didn't have to throw chingazos, did he?
No, okay. Nothing like that. It was just somebody's shell of understanding was cracking.
Uh-oh. It was being indented.
Yeah. So.
Remember last year, what happened was Chuck Sands had a bunch of instruments on the roof and people came up and jammed. Was it like that this time? Brother Matt called me to come, but of course Watt, in his He-Man fashion, fell asleep at 9 o'clock.
There was people doing their musician thing. Seemed like there was kind of maybe a band that was there. There was some wacky chick who was obnoxious and a pain in the ass.
Oh,
kinda
man.
Kind of getting in everybody's way. It was a cool bunch, a little too much happening in one little space, maybe.
Too much weight?
But,
not enough weight? Too much balsa wood?
Little distribution factor. But it worked. People had fun.
I think people put a lot of expectations on a New Year's party.
Yeah, too much. It doesn't seem like very, very realistic.
Because the image and all this. Mm-hmm. And instead of letting it grow. So maybe
it doesn't quite work out.
You know, you got a great little spiel here. It's called Basic Training.
Oh, yeah. That thing's
great. What's the story behind this?
My friend gave it to me, and she's just like a real common sense master. Thought that I could use it for my classes, since I deal with misfits and stuff. Not misfits, but that's just said affectionately.
Yeah. Endearment.
But it's just a basic thing. If you're trying to teach people, whatever you're trying to teach them, you know, some people still haven't got, like, their basic, essential, fundamental building block things, and that's, like, a good place to start.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of folks in the music racket could learn from this. It's called Basic Training. And it's not military, so don't worry. If you open it, close it. If you turn it on, turn it off. If you unlock it, lock it. If you break it, repair it. If you can't fix it, call someone who can. If you borrow it, return it. If you use it, take care of it. Like me with that Louis L'Amour book. It took me a long time to get that back to Brother Matt. What a space case. Number 8, if you make a mess, clean it up. If you move it, put it back. If it belongs to someone else, get permission to use it. If you don't know how to operate it, leave it alone. If it doesn't concern you, don't mess with it. Your cooperation is appreciated and required. That's a good little spiel.
Yeah, just keep it simple.
Yeah. Nuts and bolts kind of thing. So we ready to make another try?
We could try something.
All right, here we go.
Plan B.
Bravo. Well, something's coming.
It's coming. A little quick.
Good.
Yeah.
New Year's Day, January 1, 2003, third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. There was no goodbye at the end of the second hour because we were spacing. Or I was.
The technical difficulties interfered.
Throwing a monkey wrench.
Yeah, with the
flow. Into the CNN broadcast of your life. You're secretly in defiance of that. And here is part 19. Part 19 of the fourth tower of Inverness.
As we look in on the stately old Victorian mansion, we see Jack Flanders and Dr. Mazzulla standing in the good doctor's laboratory. They are discussing Dr. Mazzulla's narrow escape from the monstrous dragon.
He must weigh about 4 tons.
But how did it happen?
How did it happen? Well, I decided to investigate his cave.
Unarmed?
No, not at all. I carried a very potent tranquilizer rifle.
But the tranquilizer didn't affect it?
I don't know. You see, when he saw me, he gave a sudden lunge forward, and it so startled me, I fired, and I missed.
You missed a whole dragon?
Fortunate for me, though, when he lunged, he bonked his head on a long stalactite that hung from the ceiling of the cave.
But I guess that slowed him down.
Considerably. But still, he let out a billow of flame that fairly scorched my Macintosh, as you can see.
Yeah, I see.
I'm afraid it singed the hairs on my hand, and I dropped the tranquilizer gun.
But is it still back in the cave?
I'm afraid so.
Well, lucky he doesn't have a trigger finger, otherwise he's liable to come hunting for you.
He's armed enough with that breath of his.
Well, I don't understand why you're bothering him in the first place.
It's the neighbors. She's been nipping their sheep, I'm afraid. Also, if they ever get a look at this thing, they'll have the authorities down here so fast.
Well, they might be able to help.
I think of that confounded publicity, but worse. Think of that poor dragon being hauled away and put in some cage for the rest of his life.
Well, where do you think it comes from?
That's what I'm hoping to discover. And to get him back there again.
I don't understand why dragons are such a powerful symbol existing all over the world.
I believe, just a theory, mind you, but I believe that this one may have somehow come from another level.
You mean another level of existence?
Yes, but how did it get into this plane?
You think that temple near the mouth of the cave has something to do with it?
It must, but exactly what I can't understand.
But creatures from other planes don't usually materialize on this plane, do they?
Rarely, but occasionally. Yes, once when I was meditating with Chief Wampum, I saw a phoenix come out of the top of his head. It flew about the room and returned into his head again.
Good grief.
It rather startled the Chief. Myths are deep within us.
Well, I wish you luck.
I was hoping you might lend a hand.
Which one? I'm rather fond of both of them, you know.
If we both go in there, armed with tranquilizers, we may be able to discover whether the cave is just a convenient hole for the dragon to sleep in, or whether it leads down into something.
Well, okay, I'll help you, but right now I think I need some sleep. I'll talk to you later, okay?
Strange. The dragon myths have a fascinating power that goes far beyond anything logical. We know of many prehistoric creatures that existed, yet these dinosaurs and such never affected our myth consciousness as dragons have.
Would you like to know why?
Oh, the Madonna Vampira. Nice to see you again.
Is it?
What are you doing up in that tree?
I'm sucking birds' eggs. Would you care for some?
You aren't serious.
I don't think so. Will you help me down?
Sure. There.
It's nice to be close to you again.
Oh, it's good to see you.
You were asking about the dragon myth.
Yeah, do you know something about them?
The dragon is not a reptile. It's only a convenient form in which to describe a cosmic phenomenon. It was at the end of the tertiary age, or what caused the end. A satellite about one-half the mass of our present moon and four-fifths its size, the tertiary satellite, came to orbit the Earth. It grew closer and closer until its center was only about 1.8 Earth radii away from the center of our planet. The satellite began to break up, to disintegrate. It was this disintegration and what occurred afterwards that etched in the cells of man the powerful dragon myths. For day after day, the satellite, which appeared much larger than our present moon, would rise up over the rim of the Earth, streaming behind it showers of fire like a twisting, lashing tail that swept across the sky, like a fiery serpent clawing and raging across the heavens. The Earth gushed, the hills reeled, and the waters swirled and boiled. When the blood of Elijah drops down upon the Earth, the mountains begin to belch fire. No tree remains unscathed upon the land. The waters dry up. The sea disappears. The heavens begin to burn in a dull flame. The moon falls. The earth is on fire. No stone remains upon another.
Good Lord.
Then came the terrific rains and the deluge.
The great flood.
And Noah's Ark, yes. And Atlantis, known in the Bible as Babylon, did not sink, but merely went under the waters that shifted and rose. So, you see, dragons lie deep in the shadows of man.
As we look in upon the great old Victorian mansion, we see Jack Flanders and the lovely Madonna Vampira slowly stroll.
Whoops, that's for next week, kids.
Demons sticking pitchforks in my brain. What a thief, what a thief. Drag me down, hillbound highway to pain. You got me in space. Drag me down, hillbound highway to pain. Tell me your time cold is ice.
Meeting of International Conference of Technological Psychiatry. Dr. Fingers Schaefer, the lobotomy kid, rises and turns on the conference the cold blue blast of his gaze. Gentlemen, the human nervous system can be reduced to a compact and abbreviated spinal column. the brain, front, middle, and rear, must follow the adenoid, the wisdom tooth, the appendix. I give you my masterwork, the complete, all-American, de-anxietized man. Blast of trumpets. The man is carried in naked by two Negro bearers who drop him on the platform with sneering brutality. The man wriggles. His flesh turns to a viscid, transparent jelly that drifts away in green mist, unveiling a monster black centipede. Waves of unknown stench fill the room, searing the lungs, grabbing the stomach. Schaefer wrings his hands, sobbing. Clarence, how can you do this to me? Ingrates, every one of them ingrates. The conference start back, muttering in dismay. I'm afraid Schaefer has gone a bit too far. I sounded a word of warning. Brilliant chap, Schaefer, but man will do anything for publicity. Gentlemen, this unspeakable and in every sense illegitimate child of Dr. Schaefer's perverted brain must not see the light. Our duty to the human race is clear. Man, he done seen the light, said one of the Negro bearers. We must stomp out the un-American critter, says a fat, frog-faced southern doctor who's been drinking corn out of a mason jar. He advances drunkenly, then halts, appalled by the formidable size and menacing aspect of the centipede. Fetch gasoline, fellows. We gotta burn the son of a bitch like an ebony negro. I'm not sticking my neck out of me, says a cool, hip young doctor high on LSD-25. Why, a smart DA could. Fade out. Order in the court. DA. Gentlemen of the jury, these learned gentlemen claim that the innocent human creature they have so wantonly slain suddenly turned himself into a huge black centipede. And it was their duty to the human race to destroy this monster before it could, by any means at its disposal, perpetrate its kind. Are we to gulp down this tissue of horseshit? Are we to take these glib lies like a greased and nameless asshole? Where is this wondrous centipede? We have destroyed it, they say smugly. And I would like to remind you, gentlemen and hermaphrodites of the jury, that this great beast, he points to Dr. Schaefer, has, on several previous occasions, appeared in this court, charged with the unspeakable crime of brain rape. In plain English, he pounds the rail of the jury box. In plain English, gentlemen, forcible lobotomy. The jury gasps. One dies of a heart attack. Three fall to the floor, writhing in orgasms of prurience. The DA points dramatically. He it is, he and no other, who has reduced whole provinces of our fair land to a state bordering on the far side of idiocy. He it is who has filled great warehouses with row on row, tier on tier of helpless creatures who must have their every want attended. The drones, he calls them, with a cynical leer of pure educated evil. Gentlemen, I say to you that the wanton murderer of Clarence Cowie must not go unavenged. This foul crime shrieks like a wounded faggot for justice at least. Centipede is rushing about in agitation. Man, that motherfucker's hungry, screamed one of the bearers. I'm getting out of here, me. A wave of electric horror sweeps through the conference. They storm the exits, screaming and clawing.
never been to hell next door. But now you're worse than before. Now, get back. Suck it up. Under the paper sheet. And the bad of anybody cares. Then you get a lot less. Nobody gets close. Nobody cares. Now, get back. Suck it. I can't stand watching you self-destruct.
Watt from Pedro Show, that's Live Black Flag from a Licorice Pizza in store. I think. No, it was live at Target Video in San Francisco. It was for a Licorice Pizza record kind of deal. Henry's doing some gigs for the Memphis 3 kids. And, oh, there it is. And he might be touring that thing with the guys who play with him regularly. He had Dukowski sing a song, Keith Morris sang 4-5, Kira sang a Now Like the Week. She told me I was in at the gigs. It was an in-store at Amoeba Records and then a gig at the Whiskey. Before that, we had Fear. No, we did. We just had the ending. So we had William S. Burroughs do this piece on
Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill Burroughs. Meaning of psychiatric convention or some hungry centipede thing. Anyway, before that we had Demons Are Sticking Pitchforks in My Head by Fear, but I cut off the last 10-second ending and went into Uncle Bill there. So I didn't want anybody to lose out, so I played the ending after Uncle Bill.
Bonus.
And before that we started out third hour with Part 19, Fourth Tower Inverness. Dr. Missoula. And I screwed up and played a little part 20, but you have to wait till next week for that. A lot of pilot error on this show.
A lot of bonuses.
Right, a lot of bonuses on this special New Year's show here. I wonder what everybody's looking forward to in 2003. I've got some tours. Got some records. I got Studio Thunderpants underway. Did the first song of the Fourth Dose album today. Did Thurston, the Tom Rapp thing. Compilation, plus he did a song that I have to give to a cat who's making a compilation. This was a weird project. The guy says, "Why? I'm going to give you a title and I want you to make a song."
Oh, cool.
So the title he gave me was Like a Ghost on Fire. So I made a song to it. And Thurston played guitar in it. But this Pro Tools thing, you know, it's pretty trippy versus tape. I mean, you can literally paste things together.
Yeah, from when I used to work on the radio, I wouldn't even really be able to do my job that I used to shred on because I used to cut tape and stuff.
It's gone.
And you don't even need it.
But it's so quick and stuff, and the way you can paste things and get them in sync. And I mean, there's obviously some losses with the tone and stuff, but in other ways, like as a role of a conductor versus a musician, you know, where I'm putting together little performances.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this.
could see possibilities. And
so a new door opened up today, huh?
Right. I mean, I can't record drums in my apartment, you know, obviously. But you can use the machines.
For a lot of stuff.
Drum machines.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about sequence things where you hit the button and it just starts playing. I mean, you can play these things with your fingers. I mean, I can't play a drum set. So then with samples and stuff, it's, I don't know. It'll never replace other ways, but it does open up doors.
Did you have to, like, throw some extra insulation up? How far did you go?
No, you don't have to.
Uh-huh.
You know, little speakers or the headphones. Nothing has to be loud, nothing. You know, I can't set up a drum set, but I can do everything else.
Mm.
Little amp for Thurston and the bass. I go just direct in. Me and Karen went right into the machine. And some pretty good tones.
Cool.
You know, listening back to the other three albums for reference, you know, to check ourselves. We were listening. And now she knows all this stuff because of
jobs.
The film editing. Huh? She puts dialogue in movies. She did this Confessions of a Dangerous Mind that's coming out. Do you know about this movie? Chuck Barris claims he killed 33 people for the CIA.
Chucky.
I just thought he was a JoJo head. You know. Anyway, she did the dialogue and the Foley for that. So she, like we did this Selena song, Noi Que Demas, yesterday.
Jean, the dancing machine.
Yeah.
It's a dig on them.
And she did all these vocal takes and then comped them all into one take like that. Bing, bing, bang, bang. And it's amazing to watch her work like that.
Wow.
So I'm not that quick at it. You know, I'm just learning all this stuff, but...
Yeah, just watching her learning stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of visual. It's not just listening, it's visual, the way the waveforms come up on the screen, you know, and you're cutting and you're pacing. So the
so you see where you want
your mechanics are much different, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you have different takes of the same performances, and you can meld them in, you know what I mean? I mean, you could get anal with it, which is probably not the way to go with it. It's not to cure mistakes and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
If you're going to try to get creative and stuff, like Thurston, you know, I can't be with him all the time. He's on the East Coast, but I can
fly
in performances and stuff like that. Yeah. So, just new. It's not going to be better. It's just different. It's something interesting for me to explore. And something I can do in a little apartment like I live in, you know, an econo, not a lot of money, so, you know. I have a big old studio, but here I've been paying people all these years. I mean, I worked with some great people like Ethan James, Spot. Very honored, you know. But there comes to a point too where maybe you just want to do it, and you don't want to have to go into a studio or this and that.
Yeah, convenience factor is big.
Convenience, but also a personal creative.
Uh-huh.
Here, they're always capturing my performances. I was never really in on the. I was playing the bass.
Mm-hmm.
So here,
it's to wear a couple hats.
It's kind of producer role.
A couple hats.
Now, something I did last week for the skater Ray Barbie. He had me do some bass and sing for this skateboard video. By a skateboarder named Bob. He's pretty wild.
Bob Shreds.
Yeah, You Can't Stop Bob. That's the name of the song. I mean, this guy takes incredible chances and. Very artistic with the skateboard, you know. So we made him this song, and the drummer was a cat from Real Big Fish, who's in Orange County. He's in the guy's pad. Had a nice pad, nice mics, everything, and he played the drums, and Ray played guitar, and I played bass, sang. And OC is always tripping for me to go to, you know.
Yeah.
So another one of these things where the pads are way far from. Stores,
yeah,
right. They're in
down
strip halls.
The orange curtain,
the people
yeah.
are in the cul-de-sacs.
Master planned communities.
And
planned
it was
so
the
well.
City of Orange, but it wasn't the old town. You know, this was definitely.
Yeah, I've run out of gas going to the gas station in some of those places.
Yeah,
it was like no place
over the
to
hills.
Go.
It's far away, totally. And the couple, this guy, this drummer, Carlos, nice cat, and his wife. Just married, newlyweds, and I at the end, you know, I said no disrespect or anything, but this seems like kind of a square jaw neighborhood for you guys. I'm not saying that's bad because it's a Sometimes living where it's too hip is lame.
Yeah.
You just become a social organism, you get no work done.
Mm.
You
know?
But I was just kind of confused.
So they dig it, they picked it, grow up and, down there?
No, I think it was a parent connection or something. I think they are from OC, though.
And because if you're from there, sometimes you just don't know any better.
Yeah, and I didn't want any disrespect or anything. Because look at me and Pedro. They're not the most hip music people living here. But in a lot of ways, I got the righteous geography. Great people like you. You know? But you are kind of hip. But there's some other Pedro people I know that aren't...
don't get past PCH too much.
Yeah, but they're still good folks.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's...
They're my people.
Thermos bottle insulation, you know? Because if you're too connected to the pulse, I swear, you get so social.
You have the happy balance.
Yeah, you don't get anything done. I mean, you should maybe be St. Anthony of the cave doing the hermit rock, but...
That gets lonely.
Yeah. But on the other hand, if you're so connected and at every party and they say, do you get anything done?
Nope.
Yeah. Like that cat from Hull, Eric. You know, I see him at every gig, you know? That I'm too, so it means he's probably at everyone. And when's the last time you did any music? You know that cat's from Pedro.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Amazing likeness of Greg Ginn. Anyway, back to music. Here's something that Ray Barbie did on his own. He's a nice man. And it's funny to talk to a skater getting into the 30s. And thinking about midlife and how could I do this?
Yeah, still shredding.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I was in the 7-Eleven getting soap for wash. I did wash last night before I came. And there was like 4 or 5 skateboard magazines in the rack I'd never even heard of. But remember, you don't need a magazine, kids. You can just go
need
for it.
Board.
You just need a board and some dare. All right, Watt from Pedro Show.
I want to know what we're doing, what we know, how it turns in, we know how it turns.
When we dreamed of what's past, not realizing what is left without sound as I collide divine inclination. And we dream of what's past, clearer than me. Still so much to be found, not realizing these times are the best times. Watt from Pedro Show started off that set with Triumphant Procession by Ray Barbie. Our Past Lives after that with Wipers from their box set. Ghostly Power Games by Peg Legasis off their new album. You like that name,
yeah,
Peg Legasis?
Good, yeah, it's good.
They're all buddies of mine. They live in Texas. They're from Block Island, Rhode Island. And they been around a long time, and that's their newest album. And after that was Scritti Politti, Mesothetics, and then we just heard No Point in the Point by Soames and Henry Mitchell's band. He's recording some right now with Tony Platt and old buddy. And that tune there, No Point in the Point, was from a couple years ago. He came over my pad with four tracks and said, Watt, can you do a bass solo and read some spiel? So I did that. So you heard me doing that. Watt from Pedro Show. Getting into the end game of New Year's Show 2003. Here's some pop group.
the peace. This amazing angel's shortcut control. We cannot play it, God.
I'm just
Watt from Pedro Show. Here we go with our finish here. That's kind of generic, huh? But I like the name of the band. It's kind of what I think should be the motto for this year, 2003. It's called Autopilot Off. Folks, try that strategy. And the song's called Wide Awake. Try that one, too. Stay wide awake.
Don't watch the news.
Don't watch. No, what is it? What did Bobby Dylan say? Don't follow leaders. Watch parking meters. Yeah. Puff don't work because the vandal stole the handle.
Sometimes Satan comes as a man of peace.
Yeah.
Bob had a bunch.
Right. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Anyway, kind of generic song. You know, Juan Relsenfelder gave me the CD. It wasn't from the kids in the band. They've got politically correct outfits on, tattoos. So. Be an original. All together now. Before that, we had Carlos Guitarlos. I'm on bass guitar there. That was the thing. And Pete Mazich on the organ. Ain't That Loving You. Brother Matt's talking about his notebook of hundreds of songs.
Carlos, yeah, Carlos got a big old stack of new songs that he'd probably never get to, but yeah, there's a
hopefully
bunch of classics in
God
there.
God gives
hopefully
him enough time, though, because he's a true treasure.
He definitely got some talent.
Yeah. Marsha Ball before that with My Mind's Made Up. Did I play that before?
I don't remember playing that one. No. I think that was fresh.
Ah, shit. I got to look at the playlist maybe a little more. And we start off with Sense of Purpose by Pop Group. That's dedicated to these people who clone these folks, right? This little girl named Eve, maybe. Who knows?
It gets the new mythology coming pretty soon.
Really?
Goat Boy.
Sense of Purpose. Okay. Anyway, happy New Year's Day to everyone out there. From Pedro to you. Thank you, Brother Matt.
Thank you, Chris,
for coming by. Sorry you missed Thurston, Dave Markey, and Andy.
Yeah.
He's from the neighborhood?
Yeah, Andy Baez. Yeah. Good, bro.
Cool. Okay, Brother Matt, thanks for the assist.
Cool, thank you.
Essential.
Have a great New Year.
Yeah, and see you next time. Keep your powder dry.